نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم، نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم، یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم، یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم، یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ، یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ، بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم، بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم، نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم، یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم، یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک، یہ شادی کی.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. I see the sun is out and it's a bit still cold. Very, very, very windy and very, very chirpy and a bit brrr. My beloved, wonderful listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Well, I want to welcome my beloved engineers, of course, Haji Suleiman Esop, who is with me this morning, and brother Bonface, he's our engineer. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company, and of course, we welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2784-786-3132. Well, today is the last the last Tuesday in the month of May, the 31st of May, which is also the 29th of Shawwal, 1443. It's a beautiful, mashallah, morning. Remember, if anybody has any questions, if you do want to pose any questions, please do feel free. Our beloved senior respected Honorable Fadilatul Ustad will answer to your queries and to your questions. I know everybody looks forward for the bliss of marriage. A lot of listeners, I know, this morning as well, there were so many, many, many listeners tuning in and listening to As-Safina to Ilal Jannah on this beautiful, mashallah, Yawmul Thulatha. Every Tuesday is between 11 to 12, that's the bliss of marriage. Every Wednesday is between 11 to 12, that's the bliss of marriage. We welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, let's begin with this listener. It says, this will be our first Eidul Adha. We reverted in the blessed month of Ramadan. Is it compulsory for my husband and I to slaughter a sheep? And do our children also have to slaughter? They are between the ages of 13 and 4 years old. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, you embrace Islam during this Ramadan 1443-2022. Almighty Allah, accept your siyam, your qiyam, your amal salihah, your fasting, your tarawih, your good deeds, and all the other good, and you celebrated Eid al-Fitr. That was the first of Shawwal. Now we were at the end of Shawwal, and tonight we should be scanning the sky, and inshallah, once the new moon and crescent is sighted, tonight will usher in the month of Zulqa'dah, and we should read Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, make this month of Zulqa'dah a month of khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness for us and the entire Ummah and Muslimah. The words Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin are mentioned in Abu Dawood. Secondly, regarding Eid al-Adha, Bakri Eid, and so forth, the Eid of sacrifice. So Almighty Allah Jalla wala speaks of it in chapter 108, فَصْوَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنَحَرُ, that you perform your Eid Salat, your Eid al-Adha Salat, and thereafter you go and sacrifice your animal. So it shows that the Eid Salat will be performed first, and thereafter the sacrifice will take place. Now, two, three things you should know, my brother, that all the scholars agree that upon children that are minors, that there is no qurbani, there is no slaughtering and sacrifice for them. So your children who are 4, 5, 8, 9, 10 years old, you don't have to worry about them. Regarding yourself, remember the Shafi'i scholars say, and the Hanbalis and all of them, that it is kifaya. Kifaya means that if somebody in the community does it, so two, three people sacrifice, so it will suffice on behalf of everybody, and you don't have to do so. However, if you want to, then you slaughter one goat or one sheep, whatever you want, and that will suffice for your whole family as well. So that will be like the Maliki school. Only Hanafis are but strict on this issue. Hanafis say that the person who is a Muslim and is sane and mature and so forth, and now that person has the wealth, for example, you have 2,000 rand or so, and during those days of Qurbani, the 10th, 11th, 12th, and then it will be compulsory upon you to slaughter for yourself one and for your wife one and so forth. So that will be the Hanafi school. My advice to you will be, if you can and if you have the money, will be that you slaughter even one animal, and according to majority scholars, so that will suffice. And if you don't have the money, then you don't sacrifice, then remember there will be no sin upon you, because you just entered into the fold of Islam, you still have to learn a lot of issues and so forth. So that will be our advices regarding your particular scenario and circumstances.
There's a listener says, my husband and I haven't spoken to each other, Ustad. We now married for 6 years. Please, Mufti Sab, can you just give us some advice, Ustad?
So I don't understand that what you are trying to say, that number one is you are married for 6 years. The whole 6 years you are not speaking, or now in the past 6 months, 3 months or whatever.
Seven months to start.
Yeah, so that makes sense here. So it means that you are married for 6 years, and the past 6-7 months now you are not talking, you are not speaking. So why? So Allah Ta'ala alone knows why. So our starting point, because we answer the queries as the questions are posed towards us. So remember that both of you need to come to your senses, and both of you will be considered guilty. Because otherwise what will happen will be meme tutu. What is meme tutu? That husband will say, I'm right and wife is wrong. Wife will say, I'm right and husband is wrong. So in a case like that, let's go to Quran Sharif, chapter 47, right? Surah Muhammad, named after the master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In tawallaytum, when you have authority, and tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth, wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. Now you are married 6 years. Maybe you have 1, 2 children, Allah alone knows. Now you are already causing harm, first to your yourself. Second, you're causing harm to your spouse. Third, you are causing harm to your children. And fourth, you are causing harm to the ummah. So when you sever the family ties, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ, those are the people Allah Ta'ala curses them, deprives them of His special mercy. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ, He makes them spiritually deaf. وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, and spiritually blind. So what does that tell us? It's all to do with defiance, pride and arrogance. Both of you ask one another for forgiveness and look at the present and the future and go on with life. Forget the history now and let's carry on with the geography. So that is my advice. And you, husband, buy one nice present for your darling, for your poppy. Tell her, oh honey, take this money and something like that. So you both need to, all this ibadah you're doing, nothing will be accepted in the court of Almighty Allah if you'll continue like this. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two ahadith I quote to you. One in Mishkat Sharif, la yahillu li muslimin an yahjura akhahu fawqa thalath. It's not halal and permissible for a Muslim person to sever ties with another Muslim for more than 3 days. Faman hajara fawqa thalath famat dakhal an-nar. And you sever ties for more than 4 days, for more than three days, and then you died, you enter Jahannam, you dispatch to Jahannam, the hellfire. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Tirmidhi, various compilations. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, people are doing good work, but they sever ties, they're not talking and so forth. No salam, no kalam, and this husband, wife, how can that be justified? So the malaika, the angels are instructed by Almighty Allah, utrukhuma, leave these two parties. So yeah, husband leave one side, wife leave one side. All their good deeds, hatta yastaliha, till they reconcile. So it is a prerequisite, you must reconcile, then your good deeds will be accepted in the court of Allah. So therefore, don't behave like small children, become mature, you're a husband, wife, and maybe you are parents as well. So don't please the shaitan. The only party that's enjoying this is Satan, is Lucifer and Iblis and his comrades and cronies. May Almighty Allah unite our hearts and your hearts as well, husband and wife.
Ameen.
So both of you should practice on what we said. Allah grant tawfiq.
Sister says they're not parents as yet to start, but of course 7.5 months pregnant. I'm not speaking to his parents. He's not speaking to my parents. Gee, Mufti
Sahib. Now see what has happened now. You're making things even worse. One side you are pregnant. Both of you should be crying, begging, petitioning Almighty Allah. Write this down. Both of you should be reading chapter 37, Surah Swafat, the Surah chapter after Surah Yasin, verse 100. Rabbi habali min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me pious children. Grant me normal children. 30 Surah 37, Surah Swafat, verse 100. Both of you should be reading Surah 71 and verses 10, 11, 12. That Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, Noah, peace be upon him, he said, Istaghfiru Rabbakum, ask Allah for forgiveness. Innahu kana ghaffara. Almighty Allah is so forgiving, very, very forgiving. Yursilis sama alaykum midrara. Almighty Allah will send the beneficial good rain for you. Wa yumdidukum bi amwali wa banin. And Almighty Allah jalla wa ala will bless you with wealth and with children and pious children, it means. Wa yaj'al lakum jannati wa yaj'al lakum anhara. Allah will grant you the gardens of paradise and will grant you, remember, the rivulets and streams there in Jannah. So before your baby is born, make peace. Husband, wife, in-laws, outlaws, everybody. And all that's happening now, you all are joining the Hizbu Shaitan, the party of Shaitan, and causing self-destruction. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on all of us.
Ustaz, can one perform salah with a baby sitting in front of her? Ustaz?
Remember that is permissible. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, One daughter's name was Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha. So sometimes the children, the grandchildren were there, and what would happen? Umama bint Zainab, that is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's granddaughter, Sayyida Zainab, who's the daughter of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her mother is Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Zainab. And remember, our father, daughter, Sayyida Khadija and Sayyida Zainab are mother and daughter. So this Zainab radiallahu anha had a daughter, Umama radiallahu anha. And sometimes she used to be there, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even pick her up and so forth. But we say that we should not do all these kind of actions. It will lead to amale kaseer in our cases, because the Sharia was developing and evolving all the time. So we will say that if the child is there and they crawling and walking, and you continue your salat, so your salat is totally valid. There's no problem with that.
Ustad, when we were young, we were told not to leave the musalla open when not in use, as shaitan will read on it. How can this be? Is there any truth in this, Ustad?
You see, when our forefathers came from India, they came from Kolwar, they came from Banwar, they came from Porbandar, they came from Saharanpur and Palanpur and Chakmalpur. So all these places they came, lot of poor, therefore we make lot of puri, you know. So remember that they brought few kitabs with them. So one kitab was called the Lal Kitab, the Red Book. So in that Red Book, there are a lot of fairy tales were written. So one of the fairy tales is this here. When I was in primary madrasa in the 60s, so I also was taught that. But that time already I used to think, but how can that be true? Because when we go to the masjid, then these musallas, there carpets there, 100 people, 200, 500. Nowadays the masajid can accommodate 2, 3, 5, 10,000 people. You go to Haram Sharif, 1 million people. So what you going to do? Every salat, or you close all the musallas. So it's all fairy tales, that there's nothing like that. Yes, this much you can say. This much you can say, that your mother's sisters, you read salat at home, or we the men, we read sunnat salat, nafil salat at home. So if you just leave the musalla, the carpet there, then the maid will come, the children will come. They will just touch it, or they will make it napak and urinate there or mess there. So therefore you are folding it, putting it one side. I mean, I just read salat now before I came down, and then I fold the musalla, put it one side. But the reasoning that the shaitan will read salat there, that portion there is fairy tales and fabrication. Remember, there's no basis in Islam.
Somebody says to start that I am the eldest of 8, and since I have been 9 years old, my parents have made me look after my siblings, cook, clean after them, whatever, etc. I feel very depressed. I was not allowed to play outside. I had to clean and babysit. Now I am 16 years old, and my parents are pressurizing me to marry. I feel like running away. Ustad.
Remember that there are 2-3 issues. If you are a boy, or you are the girl, the son, the daughter, and your parents told you to do certain things, and you know it will help you in life and so forth. So even for the youngster, it will help. Many a time I went to Pakistan. Whilst I was in South Africa, I can't remember one day I made a cup of tea, because my mother is there, oh, my sisters are there, oh, you must remember the maid is there, somebody is there. So now when you go and you are in a boarding, you have to learn so many things. You must remember at least how to make a cup of tea, how to make a sandwich and so forth. So for that, what your parents did, you should not go into anxiety or feel oppressed or something. You should make dua for them. You have parents. So go to your parents, kiss their hand, oh son, oh daughter, and say, I love you, and read chapter 17, surah 17, in the 15 Jews, 15 Supara, verse number 24, Rabbirhamhuma. Kama rabbayani saghira. Oh Allah, have mercy on them, my parents. And Maaf, as they nurtured me and trained me when I was so young. So that is what you should do. Now you are the son, you are the daughter, and you're 16 years old. And now they say you must get married. No, they can't do that. You must remember that Islam does not give them that authority and power that they impose upon you and pressurize upon, put pressure upon you, that now you're 16-year-old boy, 16-year-old girl, you still nadan. If you are a boy, then what about the finances? What income do you have to look after yourself? What income do you have to look after your wife? And so forth and so on. Because after 17, 18 years old, you might become a parent. And then the children, there are so many issues. So that your parents, they are wrong on that issue. On the first issue, they right. On the second issue, they wrong. If you pose the question correctly. If you are the daughter and you are 16 years old and your parents are telling you you must marry this person, that also is wrong. In Islam, you must remember when a lady is aqila and baligha, she is sane and mature, the parents can say and suggest it will be good if you marry this boy, marry this boy, but they don't have the right to impose and make ijbar and ikrar and impose and pressure the daughter. Islam don't allow these type of things. I quote and I cite to you a beautiful, wonderful hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai. One day, a father got his daughter, who was sane and mature, married, and said, okay, I will give my daughter to you in marriage. Wahiya kariha. And she disliked it. She did not want to marry that person there. She went to Mustafa, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, my father married me with that person, but I'm not happy. From the start, I told him I'm not happy. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he does not have the right to do so. So look at how intelligent this lady is. She then told the women, see, I did all this to show you hukukun nisa, what are the rights of women in Islam. That is, your father also cannot impose upon you. When you are sane and mature, you must get married here and there. But that is for you. But now, because it is my parents, I don't want to upset them, and I want their du'as and blessings, so I will marry that person. So imagine, she did a favor to the women of this ummah, and she kept her parents' honor, reputation, everything intact. So that is what you call wisdom. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. When you are given that wisdom, you are given some great, great gifts of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So she solved this problem for us. So in this day and this age, for parents to impose and put pressure on their daughter, you must listen to us and you must get married, that is wrong of you. Oh parents, with due respect, oh beloved father, oh respected mother, you're overplaying your authority, you're overplaying your hand. You can suggest, but you can't impose. So that is a big difference between the two.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. See, Mufti Sahib Ustad, I am an adult and I am the only son for my mother. My father is marhum. I don't have any friends or people to speak to. Please advise me, what can I do? I feel closed up in my house. I don't know what to do. Ustad.
You are my brother. وَمَنْ خَلَّقْتُ وَحِيدًا. So Islam, we call you Wahid. Wahid means when you are the only son of your parents, and now your father passed away. When last you made sincere dua for your father? When last you visited the grave of your beloved father? So these are questions. You must make your negative into a positive and become proactive rather than reactive. You understand what I'm saying, my son? So you must ask yourself, when last did I really cry and beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness for my beloved father? So read now with me. Surah chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Chapter 14, verse 41. Rabbana ghfirli wa liwalidayya wa lilmu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. So read that daily. So that is the dua you must read for your beloved father who has passed on. And for your beloved mother, chapter 17, verse 24. Rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. That have mercy on my parents as they nurtured me when I was a baby, when I was an infant, and they trained me and so forth. So you must now have time management that I am 16, 18, 20 years old and my father passed away. I don't have siblings, no brother, no sister, and I have my beloved mother. So you must tell your mother every day, tell me what work you got that I as a son must do. I ask my wife every day almost that I tell her today what you want I must do for you. Whether I go myself or I send somebody, that's a different issue. But the work will get done. So that is what you must do. And then in this day and this age, it's the best to have a very, very small circle of friends. Because today people are friends, 90% of the time it is a hidden agenda, ulterior motive. I'm giving you, I don't know you, my brother, my son, but I'm giving you some wonderful advice. It will help you lifelong. One day, there in Karachi, I used to go every Friday for 4 or 5 years, there for Jumu'ah to Jacob Line, there where Hazrat Mawlana Ihtishamulak Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi was. He passed away on a Friday in 1980, and his body from India, well, he went for, you know, to India, then he passed away on a Friday. Saturday was his janaza, they flew the body back. I was there for his janaza in Nishtar Park in 1980. Anyway, Rahimahullah, he was Khatib of Pakistan, the orator of Pakistan. He was well in his 80s and he used to deliver lectures standing for 1 hour. So the point I want to make is this. He said, this is a beautiful lesson for you. He said, Muhabbat ke teen kisme hai, in his special Urdu, you know. Excellent, you know, his voice and everything. That love, you get three types. Ek hai muhabbat e zaati. One is you love the person because he or she is a person. How much your mother loves you. Your mother's name is Fatima, Zainab, Halima, Jamila. Your name is Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali. Ask her how much she loves you. She loves you so much despite all the tantrums, despite all the difficulty. So look at it from that way. That is muhabbat ezati. You love the person because of the person. She is your biological mother and you are the biological son, the biological child. So they love. Muhabbat sifati. You love a person for the way they read the Quran Sharif, or the way they explain the tafsir of the Quran, or the way you must remember that they, you know, are so brave in the battlefield and so forth and so on. So you don't know the person really, but you love the attributes, qualities of the Sahaba, and you love reading about them. So we never met them, we never saw them, but we love the qualities and the attributes they possessed. So you call that muhabbat sifati. So you love the person. Your mother is a wonderful cook. Your mother, remember, is makes very good samosas, bhajiyas, whatever. So you love her for that as well. Third one is muhabbat zati, muhabbat sifati, muhabbat roti. So what is muhabbat roti? That where people, they make friends. Why they make friends? They want something out of you. If you got a car, they will be have 100 friends. You don't have a car, you have a bicycle, you will have 2 friends. You don't have a car, you don't have a bicycle, you won't have any friends. Because today, 90% of the people have an ulterior motive. الناس مال إلى من عنده مال ومن لا عنده مال فأنه الناس مال. When people have wealth, then people flock to them. And when they don't have wealth, then the people run away and turn away from them. Mal can mean wealth, and mal can be a verb to turn and to go to such people. الناس ذهبوا إلى من عنده ذهبوا ومن لا عنده ذهبوا فأنه الناس ذهبوا. When people have gold, they have gold coins, Kruger coins, you will see people flocking to them. But when that gold is pelile, finished, then the people also are gone. They'll say bye-bye, lay-bye, goodbye, and they make ambile and they gone. You see? So that is dunya. That is matlab ali. You see? But that people. So you must make this. Do something with your life that your father will be proud of you, your mother will be proud of you, and don't worry about people and friends. 90% of the friends today are matlab ali. They have a hidden agenda. Is muhabbat eroti. So that is what you must understand.
I see Haji Suleiman S. Ustad. He's having a good laugh. Allah. Ustad, listen to this one, Ustad. See, Mufti Sahab. My daughter liked this boy in the college, and he really likes her also. So the boy proposed, but only thing is, he's a Shia boy, but he promised he will change his akidah to ours, and my daughter read istikhara. She says it's positive. She dreamt she was crying for him, and he was crying for her. Can my husband call you, Mufti Sahab? Our daughter is 23, and he's 30. He's a pious Shia boy. Ustad, anonymous.
Number three different issues here. For your daughter to marry him, the Shia, totally, absolutely haram. Because Shias are 100% kuffar out of the fold of Islam. They swearing, cursing Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the honorable wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They swearing, cursing Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, the honorable wife and spouse of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are cursing and swearing their fathers day and night. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, Amir Muawiyah, daily they cursing him radiallahu an. So how can you ever think about it? And then you say a pious Shia. It's like saying Iblis and Satan and Lucifer are pious. So remember, absolutely haram it is. If your daughter thinks it is permissible to marry him, then she will also go out of the fold of Islam. And remember, the Shias are masters in sweet talking. You must remember that. I don't know if you follow me on Telegram. So you follow me with a long article and regarding the Shias there in Iran. I went to Iran in 2013, and that time I challenged them and I beat them in a debate, and some people are still alive. They know that there. So the person I debated was with Safiullah, and there was a youngster there, Yasir, and they both admitted they were defeated and so forth. Be that as it may, what point I'm driving home? Imagine their hatred for us Sunnis. There are how many countries in the world? 200 countries plus minus. That Iran is the only country in the world where in its capital Tehran there is not a single mosque, a single masjid. For us, I say masjid, not some house and some hall. Proper masjid that is waqf, dedicated to all my for us, Ahlu Sunnah. So when they'll tell you that we will change, we will do this, we will do that, that is what they call taqiyah. Taqiyah means holy hypocrisy. What they will do with your daughter, you, mother, daughter, father, that they will, he, the so-called son-in-law of yours, he will sleep with your daughter for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and tell her, pack up and go, and remember, he was making mut'a, prostitution with her. The Shia shaitans, la'anahumullah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we must curse them. Hadith in Tirmidhi, idha ra'aytumul ladina yasubbuna ashabi. When you hear and you see those people who are cursing my sahaba and companions, faqulu, then say, la'anatullahi ala sharrikum. Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you for the evil you are perpetrating. And Khomeini, la'anahullah, is a non-Muslim Khomeini. He writes in his book, which I have, Tawdihul Masail, I have it by me, and remember, I saw it there in Qum also. I spent 3 days in Qum, so I could go study all their places, and where they sell their books. I got books in Arabic, Urdu, English from there. And then from Tehran also, many other books. They gave me all that. Anyway, that, you know, his book, Khomeini, La'anahullah, that he writes, that in Tawdihul Masail is the book's name. You can make mut'a, prostitution, for 1 hour. Is that what you want for your daughter? You must tell your daughter, she must sever all ties with him. He is shaitan, remember that, in human form. And for her to be studying there in the college and all that, and meeting him, chatting with him, and he's tuning her up, her studying day in a university is haram. That is why we tell you 90%, 80%, 70% of our sisters who study there in the university, either they will lose their haya, shame and modesty, or either they will lose their religion, like in this case, if she goes ahead, or either they will lose their virginity. So you must be clear on this. We are not here to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician or any government. Our function is to propagate Islam according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and remember that is Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah. They say 99% of Sahaba are Kuffar, and you thinking of giving your daughter there. All that istikhara of that is shaitani istikhara, all that. When a person is thinking of a person, then it's obviously your subconscious mind will tell you about that. So tell her, if she marries him, she herself will be out of the fold of Islam, because she's considering something absolutely haram to be permissible. And if she has children, they all will be harami children and illegitimate children. So you must take her out of that college, and she must sever all ties from there. Our fatwa is very clear. Listen to me loud and clear. Shias are kuffar, and the Quran also says so. The hadith also say so. The sahaba also say so. And you must remember, the a'imma arba'a, the four schools, also say so. People who don't want to declare the Shias as kuffar, because you must remember, they are supporting them, or their sympathizers are sponsoring them. So such people we consider to be dhal and mudwil, totally astray, and therefore we say we don't read salat behind such people. Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79, is the battle of Tabuk, and it's the month of Rajab, is 45-50 degrees, midsummer in Medina Munawwara. And in Medina Munawwara, if you know anything, then Maghrib Salat goes right up to 7:15, 7:20. So midsummer it is. I experienced myself 45-50 degrees in June, July there, that you perspiring daytime, nighttime, so hot it is. They were told that every one of you must participate in this battle of Tabuk. You know, I went to Tabuk by plane. It took me 1.5 hour. So they had to travel. So 30,000 Sahaba, Mustadrak Hakim's hadith. So the logistics, who is going to arrange? Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, 1,000 gold coins, 300 camels, all that he gave. And these shaitans, they mocked at him, the hypocrites. Alladhina yalmizun al-muttawwi'ina min al-mu'minina fi sadaqat. Some Sahaba came, they brought 0.5 kilo, 1 kilo, 1 pound of dates and so forth, according to their means. Walladhina الذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم. So these hypocrites mocked the Sahaba, they scoffed at them. Allah says, anybody attacks the integrity of Sahaba, سخر الله منهم. Allah will mock them and Allah will dispatch them to Jahannam forever. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So that is Quran, that is Sunnah, that is Ijma of Sahaba and the consensus of the four school. For your daughter to marry him, absolutely haram.
17 minutes to 12. We go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, it's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, 14 minutes to 12. Listener wants to know, Ustad, what should we do or what should we read when we see the new moon, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mashallah, Islam is a religion for all times, all places, all circumstances. Every one of us should be referring to Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 36. Therein you will find your answer. See, they tell us they got 12 months. That also they lie. You must remember that. They don't have 12 months. First, they had 7 months. September means 7. October 8. November 9. Then you must remember that December 10. So 1st of March was the beginning of the year. And December end. So they had 10 months. And then Pope Gregory came. They changed it. Introduced January, February. They stole all this from Islam. Islam said, Inna iddata shuhuri indallahi Ashara Shahran, that there are 12 lunar months. Allah prescribed, Allah ordained us the day He created the heavens and the earth. You see where 12 months came from? From Islam. The day Allah Ta'ala created the universe. These Westerners and English, they steal everything. And then they want to come tell us that they are the pioneers of all this. They lie, they make propaganda. From the 12 lunar months, Mina Arbatun Hurum, there are 4 sacred months. So which are the 4 sacred months? Open Bukhari Sharif. Salatun Mutawaliyat. They are 3 consecutive months. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah and Muharram. Even prior to the Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the honorable auspicious birth of the Master Alayhi Salam, that they used to have ceasefire. No fighting, no war, no combat. They would respect this month. Zulqa'dah, Zilqa'dah. Anyway, so it means the month of sitting. No fighting, no war and so forth with your enemy. Zulhijjah, the month of, remember, Hajj. Then Muharram, the respected month. So Zulqa'dah, people would go for Hajj. Zulhijjah, they would perform Hajj. Muharram, Qudumul Hujjaj, the Hajjis would return. Nowadays, everything became easy the past 60, 70 years. Remember, people going by plane and all that. Otherwise, it was long, long journey by camel and horse and donkey and ship and so forth and so on. So that is Zulqa'dah. So when we see the moon tonight, is 28 hour moon, inshallah. So say, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month. You see in Saudi Arabia, the moon Samis there, they will tell you some crazy things. They already announced today, Tuesday is the first. So therefore you will see my nasiha, that I go one day ahead, so that you must know what to read tonight and so forth. So there are various du'as, but the simple du'a is Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month of Zulqa'dah a month of khair and goodness wa Rushdin. So it's authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. So that is the best simple du'a to read.
Ustad, a listener wants to know what are your programs for tomorrow, inshallah. Will there be ladies' program as well in Lowveld, Ustad?
So, mashallah, that our program for the Lowveld, that is those areas there, Nelspruit and then White River, Barberton, all, inshallah, will start tomorrow. And the programs are as follow. Tomorrow night, inshallah, day in Nelspruit. So, Isha, we will be there in the old Muswalla and so forth. And then on Friday, that is now Wednesday. So Wednesday night, day nurse pray. Then Thursday morning, Fajr time, inshallah, in White River. And when Moa Gardi is, Allah Ta'ala grant him Shifa e Kamil. And then Thursday evening, day in Babatan Masjid, inshallah. And then Friday, Jumu'ah, we will be there in Komatipur, that, but not in the Komatipur Masjid, that about 20, 30 kilos from there, where the foreigners are, Nas. So there are a lot of people from Somalia, Ethiopia, all that. So we'll have Jummah there. I had one program or two programs there before. And remember then that Friday night will be in Malalan. So it's all, you know, no ladies program. You listen on the Bilal receiver or on your Bilal decoders, whatever you want to call it. And then Saturday morning after Fajr in the Komatipur Masjid. So that our programs, inshallah. So make dua. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for us and accept it also.
Ustad, what's this way people today, they have this interfaith meetings and they all pray in one venue. I mean, is it permissible in Islam, Ustad?
Remember that there are three different issues here. You must understand, people don't understand what is really going on. You see, there's a country called Urdun. There's a country called Jordan. And Arabic we call Urdun. Urdun is mentioned in the Hadith also. Anyway, so they had a conference 2002, 2003, around there in the early 2000s. So it was called the Amman Accord. So there in the Amman Accord, they said that people who belong to these eight categories, you must remember they are Muslim. So you are Shafi'i, you are Maliki, you are Hanafi, you are Hanbali, so these are four. Then you are Salafi, so you are five. Then you are Zaydi, then you are six. Then you Isna Ashariya, the Shias, it means this. So then you Muslim. That is what that conference said. And you are Ibadiya. Ibadiya are those people you will find, they in Oman. One country is Oman with the Ain, and one is Jordan, the capital is Amman. So anyway, that Ibadiya, Muscat, and that I've been to all these places with Allah's help. So that they said eight. So we reject it totally. We say, how can Shias be Muslims and so forth? I explained to you all that just now. So once you get the politicians involved, the governments involved, they, for them, Islam is all secondary. So they want to include the Shias and so forth through the front door or back door and so forth. Then they will tell you that there are 40, 50, 80 ulama assigned and so. But go study each one of them there. Hardly any one of them or very few are really independent ulama that have got nothing to do with governments, that they are somehow linked to their government. So they don't want to upset their government. They are paid by the governments in money instances. So therefore, they just towed the line, like you see. Then, yeah, in Cape Town, few years ago, they had the Cape Town Accord. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, and myself, and few other ulama, all Allah's fazl, in 1 week, we finished them up, and the whole thing fell apart. So, and everybody saw then what it was all about. So now what you get is what they call interfaith. That is that they will call, you know, they will tell the Christian, you must come, you the Jew, you must come, the Hindu, you must come, the Muslim, you must come, and we're all going to pray for prayer. We're all going to pray for peace. We're all going to pray for this. Is that permissible? Absolutely haram it is and got nothing to do with Islam. Islam says that we must. One person, one Molvi even sent out a message. He said, no, we have to coexist with them. And remember that out in Medina, they had the Medina Charter. So everybody followed that. So then Nabi alayhi salatu salam had the final say, not that you go. Our function when we go there, we must be alayna an nu'athir. We must impact upon them. Our decisions must be final. Not alayna an nata'athir. We get impacted by them. They do haram dandas, then we do the same haram. So what good is that? So these type type of functions, A to Z, everything is haram and not permissible. We say, for all these people who are non-Muslims, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, O you non-Muslims, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I don't worship what you worship. And in the ending, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. So when you come on one stadium, one venue, one hotel, one place, remember that, then مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, you're imitating them, so you become part and parcel of them. It's authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, you're increasing the numbers, you must remember, of theirs, so you become part and parcel of them. Hadith in Musnad Abi Awana, Sahih hadith, thereafter you must remember that all this is just boot licking, remember, boot licking the politicians, boot licking the government and so forth. Therefore you find that everywhere in the world, you find the imam, you find the sheikh, you find the maulana, you find the mufti, you have whoever, when they very close to governments, then they disgraced and humiliated, remember that. Otherwise go and study Imam Abu Hanifa's life, Imam Malik's life, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they all ended up in jail. Why? None of them went with their governments. They spoke the truth and they never compromised on it. But ma'al asafi shadeed, today is unfortunate. The dollar speaks all languages. So is no ma yu'minuna bil ghaib, and believe in the unseen. It is yu'minuna bil jayb. How we can fill our pockets in the name of religion. I have a book which I bought in 2000 when I was in Iraq. Nice little booklet, kutayb we call. Mm-hmm. Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri and Al-Waiz Al-Bakka. So they asked him, that ma uqubatul ulama, what will be the punishment for the ulama? Allah forbid, Allah protect us. He said, mawtul qulub, their hearts start dying. So he said, but what you mean their hearts start dying? He said, talabu dunya bi amalil akhirah. They will tell the people that this is Islam, but they don't want to teach Islam, propagate Islam. They want more and more of the dunya, the name, the fame, the money, all these things here. But superficially, they'll be doing actions for the year after. That is the punishment for ulama. So each one of us should ask ourselves, why do we apologize, compromise, make this halal, make that halal, make this halal? And anything the government say, they will tell you, do this. Monkeypox came out, so give everybody monkeypox vaccine. So they will say, yes, you must do that. They will tell you that donkeypox came out, so give them donkeypox vaccine. So they will say yes. So what good is that, I'm asking you? You sold your whole deed. You sold everything. Khasirat dunya wal akhirah. So that is our message, very, very clear. And these type of people, we're very clear on these issues. You like, you don't like, that's your business. We say to read salat behind them is not permissible.
Ustad, is there a dua that we can read for a breech baby to turn into position, Ustad?
Always for your baby, the fetus, the unborn baby, read the following three duas. Allah Jalla Wala will make everything easy. Chapter 37, remember Surah Safat, verse 100. Rabbi Habali Minas Salihin. Oh my beloved Allah, grant me pious children, healthy children. So that is number one, 37. Surah 37 verse 100. Second one, Surah 3 verse 38. Dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. First one is Dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'ud du'a. O Almighty Allah Jalla wala, that grant me such offspring that are pure, that are chaste and good. Innaka sami'ud du'a. You are the one who listens to the du'a. And third one, the dua of the pious people. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us as spouses and children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes, read istighfar abundantly, give out charity. Inshallah, everything will come good. And for all of you, whether your baby is still going to be born or they born already, and we have children and progeny, so read Surah 46, verse 15:15, the beginning of the 26 Jews. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati, that O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety in my progeny and children. Okay, quickly let me run over the programs here. 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. 12 to 1, a Muslim report response when tested by Maulana Ridwan Kaji. 1 o'clock, Zohar Adhan. 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Qaf, verses 36 to 45. We will complete the Surah today, inshallah Aziz. 1:30 to 2, Surah Nur, verses 33 to 34. 2 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 o'clock to 3:40, the repeat of the Q&A of this morning, Man Mashallah. And 3:40 to 4 o'clock, Duas and Zikr. 4 to 5, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, this is Urdu, by Maulana Salim Dorat, wonderful lecture that will be inshallah. 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. And 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir. Then 7:30 to 8, more Yunus Patel. And 8 to 10, month after dinner. And that is with Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. Remember, two more announcements quickly, that tonight scan the sky, and once the moon is sighted, crescent is sighted, Allahu Akbar, Hilal Khairin Warushdin. And next one, fill up your tank. You know, definitely petrol price is increasing tonight after midnight, so tomorrow, so it will be increased. Rather fill up today, then you can save many, many rains, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.